Welcome to the Ladies of Metal Show, featuring interviews with metal bands, tattoo artists, and of course, the Ladies of Metal models, where we keep you up to date with everything surrounding the metal, underground, and alternative community. This is the Ladies of Metal Show, hosted by Gwen Anastasia.
What is up? It is the Ladies of Metal Show. I am Carly Gwen, aka Gwen Anastasia, and I'm trying not to be a total nerd right now, you guys, because today I have my favorite drummer from one of my favorite bands of all time, Matt Greiner from August Burns Red. So I've been listening to this band since Thrill Seeker came out in 2005. I used to see them play all the time in their hometown of Lancaster, PA. It was about a half hour from where I started college at Penn State in Reading, PA, before I switched up to the main campus my junior and senior year. But I still came back for their holiday shows or anytime they play in Philly, I am there. And last year, my friends and I even road tripped up to upstate New York to see them play with Miss May I. Always an incredible live show. I usually lose my voice from yelling all the words, especially last year on the Constellation Tour shows, which I think I was at three of those. So we'll get into what's going on with the Killswitch Tour this year, the Guardians release, and Matt's favorite drummers. So let's do it. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
Good. Thank
awesome.
You very much for having me.
Of course. Yeah, it's so great to have you. The show's called the Ladies of Metal Show, and Ladies of Metal's like a group of like tattooed metal ladies, and like we go to shows and interview bands and like do merch, and we do like merch photo shoots for bands like on websites and stuff. So
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, so
do you guys have an Instagram?
Yeah, it's just Ladies of Metal.
Ladies of Metal. Okay, mm-hmm. I want to look that up.
Okay, cool.
Wow. Okay. This is, very, very popular.
Yeah.
more popular. I've been playing drums for, 18 years, and everything I've done pales in comparison to what you've done with, your business.
Oh my gosh.
That's incredible.
Well, I think it might be easier on social media for a bunch of ladies to get some likes.
Are you saying that my boobs aren't big enough? Or
yeah,
what?
I'm saying...
Is that what it comes down to?
Yeah, you need to step up the nudity, I think.
I would definitely only have stepping up to do because I've done none of that.
No, so nudity. Oh, Matt, come on.
Are you the one that's nude in these pictures? Is this all you? You just are able to chameleon yourself in all these different ways?
Yeah, I have
I
have a lot of wigs. So many wigs. Yeah. I am on there, but...
and body types and everything.
Yes.
Wow. Good for you.
So many different heights. Oh, it's nuts. It's a lot of work. A lot of work.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on. I'm excited to see what I can contribute to your podcast. I don't know that anyone's going to care what I have to say, but I'll do my best to provide you with information if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I love some information. And I have to say, I did let a few of my little dude friends know that I was going to chat with you, and they were like, oh my god. So I do have some.
Like, that's awesome. And then you told some of your girlfriends, they're like, who?
They're like, I'm sorry, what? Is he on TikTok? I don't know.
Exactly. No, I'm not. I haven't done the TikTok thing.
I feel like you could be pretty TikTok famous if you did, like, cool, funny drum videos or something.
Yeah, that could be a thing. You know, content creation is just a lot of work, as you know.
It is.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'll leave that to the other drummers out there who are probably killing it.
Well, have you been doing any, like, drum playthroughs or any, like, videos while you've been kind of stuck at home?
I'm working on a website right now, actually. I have an educational website. I've been teaching online for over a decade, and so this whole boom of virtual lessons has come out of nowhere for a lot of people, but in actuality, there's a couple of guys who have been doing it for a long time. Mike Johnson, who has mikeslessons.com, he's doing very, very well, but I've been doing Skype lessons for years and have now switched over to Zoom, and I'm now building a subscription-based site. So I'm filming content of myself playing Augustine's Red songs on drums, and then I'm actually building in a slower tempo, actually two of them, for drummers to play along to. So if you want to learn Composure or Empire or Whitewash, you can actually sign up for this subscription fee, which, as it turns out, is a lot cheaper than me teaching like a half hour lesson. And you have access for like for an entire month to say Composure, and you can actually learn how to play it. So I've always wanted to do this, and now that we're home, I have time to do it. So that's what I'm putting my effort into right now.
That's awesome. Is that through like your own kind of thing, or is that on like a host website?
That's my own thing. I have a friend whose son has a very high functioning level of autism, and I was teaching him for a while, and his dad's like, dude, you need a website so you can help other people. And I'm like, I'm not going to spend my time doing that. He's like, well, I build websites. So he built me this site years ago, and I'm building in the subscription-based platform with him. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping to launch it next month.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Very
it's
cool.
It's going to be exciting if it works.
Yeah, you know, if it works.
Are like, cool, I want to learn how to play one of your songs on drums.
Well, one of my dude friends that was excited that I was going to talk to you, I bet he would do that because he's a drummer in a band.
Oh, yeah?
In New Jersey. Yeah, so I bet he would totally do that.
So, oh, there's one.
So there's one guy. Shout out to
there's
my friend Brandon.
Yeah,
all right, cool. I was going to try to see you in person at one of the Kill Switch dates, like the Philly show.
Man.
But obviously it's been postponed, so I'm super sad about that. But I'm glad you guys didn't cancel it.
Right. Where do you live?
I live right outside Philly in Delaware County.
Delaware County, okay.
Yeah.
Is that west of the city?
It's like a little bit west and a little bit south.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My mom was born and raised in Abington.
Oh, okay.
Hatboro.
Yeah, that's like a little bit west of
that's
me.
A little bit west of you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time out there. That's awesome. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, we were looking forward to that tour for a long time, and as it turns out, we went home the day of the Philly show. We almost got it in. We almost got the Philly show in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, because, yeah, that was, like, the week that everything was starting to get kind of serious. Like, things were starting to close. And then the mayor of Philadelphia, like, stopped everything with groups over, like, 250 people. So I was like, yeah, that Kill Switch show is not happening. So.
Yeah. And last Kill Switch and August Burns Red really died quickly. Our fan base. The attendance on that tour was really looking good too. So it's postponed for now, but as you know, it's going to be a while.
Yeah, definitely. Especially because now so many bands are dealing with this whole situation of being like postponed, rescheduled, canceled. Like, is everybody just going to be touring at the same time?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's a great point. The answer is 100% yes. That's the answer. There is no other answer, but yes.
I mean, I will be there. I mean, I have my ticket already, so I will be there whenever it is. So, pretty stoked.
That's cool.
And here's what I really want to know. You guys were on tour for, like, what seemed like all of last year on that Constellations tour. and I caught, I think, three of the shows, which was so fun. But how did you have time to record Guardians?
That's a good question.
Right?
It was a busy year. Yeah, it was a busy year. It's funny how contrasting last year is compared to this year.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I'm glad we got it in last year. Had we been writing right now, we'd be sitting on a record for a while. I hadn't really thought about that before, but
yeah.
We toured a lot last year. Constellations was a big record for us, and so when we decided to do the 10-year anniversary of it, we knew we wanted to take it everywhere. So we hit like North America, we hit Australia, we hit Europe, and by the time we had all those dates booked, we had these pockets of time in between, and we just set aside time. As soon as we get home from a tour, we go into the studio, we'd record, and then we'd leave again, and we'd come home, and then I recorded. The guitars were actually tracked last spring,
Oh, wow.
And then we did the summer leg of the Constellations tour. And then we came home and I rehearsed for 2 or 3 weeks and then I went and recorded. And then we left for Europe for the Constellation European leg. Came home and then we geared up for Killswitch. We had like 2 months off there. I went out to NAMM, which is this big music convention in California, which as it turns out is a couple hundred thousand people and a large percentage of them are from Southeast Asia.
Whoa.
So I didn't think about this till recently, but I was probably exposed to COVID-19 before it was a thing.
Oh my God, I hope not.
Not before it was a thing, but before it became something that we talk about, you know, constantly.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, so we're a hardworking band. I'm really proud to be in a band with the dudes in Augustine's Red. You know, we started the band 17 years ago, and I can't think of harder working. I can think of a couple maybe just as hardworking people, but they're in like the blue collar world, landscaping and roofing.
Right.
They work hard in a different way, but the guys in my band work very, very hard. And it's all based in this idea of we just love it. We love what we do, and we don't take it for granted, and we know we have to keep pumping out records to be successful.
Well, right, and I think it comes across as definitely in your live shows that you guys are having such a good time, and you want to be there, and, like, I don't know, just the way you interact with your fans, it's just, I don't know, it's nice, and that's why I love going to see you guys. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being a fan. You seem very... We do a lot of interviews, especially in this virtual world that we're living in. I'm sure you've seen that as well, just with how accessible everybody is. But
right.
Some of the interviews we do are not as those that are interviewing us are nice people, but you can tell that they're not connected,
mm-hmm.
or they don't have a finger to the pulse of what's actually going on in
right.
our world. And so it's no problem, but it's nice to talk to somebody who's been to our shows and knows what it looks like, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm like, I don't know, I feel like when people ask me what kind of music I listen to, or like if they ask me about different genres, I'm like, I don't know, I listen to August Burns Red, but you probably don't know who they are. So you guys
right.
are always like my standard as like what like a metal band that I listen to is like an example of. So yes.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course. So cool. Yeah. I think you guys are amazing. And I'm so excited that you went through with the Guardians release, because I know it came out like April 3rd, which was kind of amongst this whole weird time that we're in.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of bands are kind of like postponing their releases. So I'm glad that you actually put it out, because I was so excited for it. So yeah. So thanks for that. But I also hope that I guess this will give everyone more time to like learn the song, so when you actually can come back and play live shows, that everybody will know all the words.
That's true. I mean, we did actually have the conversation, do we want to delay this?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an extensive conversation, but we talked about it. The reasons were obvious. In the end, we decided that it was a better idea to just go through with it and do everything we could creatively to promote it. We definitely lost a lot of heat by going home from tour. We weren't able to talk about it every night from stage and
right.
sell it at the merch table and play new songs. But in the end, it was just the response to it just proves how supportive our fans are. We've always known that to be true, but it became very obvious on this release, because we could only do as much as we were allowed to do from home. You know, there's only so much you can do to promote your record. Yeah.
It definitely worked, because, I mean, I followed you guys on Instagram, and everybody was, like, freaking out, like, with all the music videos you guys put out, and, like, the little, like, promo videos before the record came out, everybody was, like, stoked. So, yeah, so it seems like it went over pretty well, despite the circumstances, so that's pretty awesome.
It is awesome, yeah.
This might be, like, my favorite August Burns Red record to date.
Wow.
Because I feel like every new record you guys put out is my favorite new one, like, which I think is a testament to how good you guys are just musically. But I wanted to know if you had like a favorite song on the record, or like a couple favorite songs.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, it's hard to talk about a favorite song, because I wrote some of the lyrics on this record, and those songs are probably, because they're personal to me, they're important to me.
Right.
They're both important and they're personal, and so I would tend to say that those songs are my favorite. Not that they're my favorite, because I think that they're better than the other songs that I didn't write lyrics for. Brent is an amazing lyricist and writes very, very, very good songs. Probably better songs than the ones I've written. But as far as them being my favorite, what I mean is the implication would be that they're very personal to me, and that the reason that I wrote them and the time in which they wrote them, it all gets baked into the same cake. It's very nostalgic and it's meaningful to me in a way that no matter how good another song is, it's just not going to hit on all cylinders, you know, fire on all cylinders in the same way. So, with that said, I would say if we were to get nominated again for a Grammy and it was for Defender or Paramount or Lighthouse, it would blow my mind. It would be incredible. And those three would be among the top for me on this record.
I would agree. I mean, I don't want to be like, oh, the first single that you guys put out was my favorite, but it kind of is. Like, I love Defender. It's so good. Awesome. And if you guys got nominated for another Grammy, that would be the coolest thing ever. I don't know how, honestly, you didn't win. I think last time, was it the Best Metal Performance?
Yeah, Metal Performance. Yeah.
Like, come on. I don't know. Like, I don't know who out there, like, beats you guys as far as, like, a live show, but yeah.
So, I would say Blood Letters at the top, too. Brent wrote the lyrics for that. Brent has this ability to write lyrics that do a really good job of conveying angst and frustration.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have that ability. I know how to write lyrics that have a completely different tonality to them, but Brent has this skill of writing lyrics that just really resonate with heavier songs, and Blood Letter is most certainly that song. it's a fun one.
Well, I think it's important that you have, like, varied tones in your songs, because if every song was super angsty, that might be a little much. So you need that balance.
That's true. Yeah, we try to balance it. The heavier songs sound heavier because they are contrasted with songs like Lighthouse, which don't have as much heavy to them.
Right.
So, and plus, people get so bored playing songs that were all the same. I mean, people that listen to metal who don't listen to metal often, when they hear a metal song, they think, oh my gosh, everything sounds exactly the same. And I can see that. I understand that sentiment when there's screaming and it's fast and there's distortion. But we all know, you know, the more you spend time with the genre of music, the more you see the nuances and you come to appreciate the differences. And those are the things that we like about this style of music. You can really do a variety of different things.
Right. And I think that also happens with the lyrics too. Like, people are like, oh, I don't understand what they're saying. But if you, the more you listen to it, the more sentences you can pick out. And if you just read the lyrics, you can see that it's not about, like, you know, animal sacrifice and Satan and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's why I really appreciate your guys' lyrical content too, because it's like about, you know, being like a better person and not letting people, like, hold you down. And it's like great, like, you know, it's like good stuff for your soul. And, like, people might not immediately think about that listening to a metal song, but
yeah,
I think that's pretty cool.
It's weird though, because anybody that you talk to on this podcast would probably agree with what we're writing and not find it to be all that, like, profound or shocking. It's just kind of common sense. Like, take care of each other, you know, look around and find someone who needs help. Oh, that really pissed you off. Yeah. That pissed me off too. Don't do that again. Like, they're very standard things. And, for some reason, and unfortunately it seems like there's not enough of it out there, because every time we put out a record like this where there's lyrics that preach that same kind of message, it's like people are like, thank you, and we're like, wait, what? Like, aren't other people saying, what are other people saying that is so different compared to this? People really talking about sacrifice and animals? My gosh. Like, who does that, you know?
I mean, I think there's another, you know how there's like a million subgenres of metal?
Yeah.
I think there's probably like maybe a death metal section where they're talking about weird stuff like that, or like whatever Gwar's talking about.
So maybe the bottom line is those bands are writing lyrics like that, and it's like, wow, like those lyrics are pretty tough and pretty like dark sounding. And then you go out to eat with that dude who wrote them, and he's talking about exactly the same stuff we're talking about. So
yeah.
It's like,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? When you boil it down, we're all really more similar than what we think we are.
Yeah. No,
just,
for sure.
It's kind of shocking to write a lyric like that, and it's cool. It fits the music, you know. Animal sacrifice.
I mean, I don't want to listen to songs about that, but that's just me.
But maybe you like the beat, or maybe you like the breakdown, and you don't really care that much about the lyrics. That's the way I am. The lyrics really matter to me, but not initially. It's like, you know, initially I'm like, dude, this part is freaking awesome.
Right.
It's fast, and it's heavy, and technical.
Well, yeah, I think that there's some truth to that for the way I listen to music, too. Especially, like, initially with bands like the Acacia Strain, for example, where maybe it might be, like, a little difficult to understand what Vincent's saying, but the music is so, like, doomy, and maybe I'm just working out, and it doesn't matter what the lyrics are, but yeah, I think every band kind of serves its own purpose to your life.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also wanted to see, since you're probably my favorite drummer, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, so I wanted to know who your favorite drummer is, or if you have like a couple.
I have a couple favorite drummers. Well, thank you, first of all. When I started the band, I used to drive my Dodge Aries, 1987 Dodge Aries that my grandma gave to me from my parents' house where I was living to this guy's band practice. His name is Joe Wong, and no one's ever heard of him. I don't think he's playing drums anymore. I think he's working night shift at a factory. It's such a crazy case study of how life goes when you zoom out, because this guy was the kind of person that I admired more than anyone else in the whole world. He was playing drums at the highest level, in my opinion, in a small town. He was a hard worker. He practiced his butt off. He was really cool, really friendly, helpful, and just so sick at drums. And I loved his sound. He had these bells and effect symbols, and I really pulled a lot of influence from him, and he helped me sort of springboard into what I'm doing. Eventually, we started to play shows with them, then we would start to headline over them, and then they broke up. And now I haven't talked to him in a long time. But I say all that to say, growing up, my favorite drummer was somebody that no one had ever heard of. And when people started asking me, like, who do you like? You know, Joey Jordison, or, you know, Jordan Mancino from As They Dying, or, you know, just pitch all these names. I'm like, yeah, those dudes are awesome. But there's this other guy from, you know, from home, who is my real inspiration. And still to this day, I have a little bit of that in me, that I think about him and I think about what he taught me. And even though I've been doing this for so long, I still am the same. Not a lot has changed for me with drumming. It's like, I still like the same style of drumming. I still pull from some of the same influences. I really like Matt Garska from Animals as Leaders. He wasn't around then, and he is so sick.
Well, yeah, of course.
So sick. I got to meet him a couple months ago, actually out at that convention I was telling you about, NAMM.
Yeah.
And, I was just, like, blown away to meet him. And he's like, Matt, I've been waiting to meet you, dude. And I'm like, me?
Oh, my God.
I'm waiting to meet you. And then he's like, Matt Squared. He's like, here we are. I'm getting you a drink. I'm like, all right, I think I should be buying you a drink. And we, you know, we talked for a bit. It was incredible to meet, like, someone who's so proficient at what they do. And that brings it all together for me. If they're an awesome drummer, but they suck as a person, it's like, ah,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, it's like
I
ruined.
It's ruined.
Yeah.
But if they're, like, a good drummer and they're awesome, then it's like, dude, you're my favorite drummer in the world.
Right.
In his case, he's more than a good drummer, obviously. And he's a great dude. So I'll just stick with Matt Garska.
That's great.
That one.
Well, I think that's really cool that you still remember and think about and kind of, like, honor the dude that you started out with. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. He's tremendous. I mean, he should be the one on this if I would have told him 15 years ago, like, all right, dude, in 15 years, you have a podcast interview with Ladies of Metal, he would have been pumped.
Oh, my God. Like,
sweet, man. I'm excited. I'm going to keep working.
Oh, my God.
And,
that's so
and
funny.
And by the way, it's on this thing called Instagram. And you'd be like, what? What's that?
Right. I really hope that I get to see you guys sooner rather than later as far as the rescheduled Killswitch tour. And now
yeah.
I'm even more excited because I love Guardian so much. So I'm looking forward to those new songs. So, yeah. So I guess before I wrap it up with you, do you want to do any, like, shout outs, like your social media, like the band's social media?
Sure. Yeah. You can stay up to date with us. We try to do a lot of fun stuff during this time. And if you're looking for content, which you're probably not because you have plenty. but if you're a fan and you want to find out more, or you're not a fan, you want to find out more, go to Augustman's Red. It's just, you know, Instagram.com/Augustman's Red. And my personal is Matthew Greiner, MATTHEW Greiner, GREINER. Instagram's probably the best place to go. We look forward to touring again. It's going to be a little while, but things are back and opened up, but we're staying sharp at home and we're excited to play these songs for you guys. So thanks so much for having me on and for checking this out.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thanks so much for I don't know if you have like a, you know, busy schedule right now, but thanks again. That was so cool. Yeah, so
it's great. I'm fortunate. I'm able to stay busy. I was teaching about 40 students a week, and now I've transitioned into working outside for some folks, and then I have a farm actually, so we're about to get busy with that.
Oh, wow.
Starting in about a week. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. At least you're not just like sitting around. Like, I just see so many people just complaining about like watching Netflix all day, and like I just can't.
Oh, I can't imagine. Like, I don't know about you, but I've never been busier than I am now. This is it's a busy time. People are trying to figure out creative ways to stay relevant and active online, and so everything's virtual.
Well, and I think it's more like I just don't know how to be not productive, I guess. So I'm just trying to stay as busy as possible and like try to get stuff done because I can't sit still.
Oh, yeah.
So
I know. Exactly. I'm exactly the same way.
Maybe we'll get to chat in person on a follow-up episode, you know, when you guys are allowed back out again.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for featuring me on here. I hope things continue to go well for you guys. Stay safe.
Yeah, of course. We'll thank you.
Soon.
You too.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
You just heard another episode of the Ladies of Metal Show. Subscribe to our channel so you never miss an episode. Need more metal in your life? Listen to Ladies of Metal Radio on the TuneIn Radio app, hosted by the Ladies of Metal Models. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat @Ladies of Metal.